looking at the agenda, we have a wonderfully light agenda, a single topic agenda. Unless somebody else wants to add something else. Someone else.
Well, maybe just a small item on OPMA.
OPMA. Got it. 5A. Anything else? Anybody's dying to talk about this? You will give us a 5A and brief status report on the sewer and water plants.
Yes.
And 5C, you might give us an update on the budget approval.
Yes.
Might be easy. Okay. Anything else? All right, that will be the agenda tonight. And anybody want to disclose any conflicts? Hearing none, we'll move on. So we have minutes to approve, finally. We have the minutes slash notes of October 13. I read it on the theory. You might have to expect to change. Anybody else have anything?
I didn't spot anything.
I would suggest in paragraph one, second paragraph, where it says we're unhappy with a certain deal, I think if they're probably a little more sophisticated sounding, might be fee.
Well, where was it?
Park District.
Under the,
there. Okay, Park District.
And then happiness with the swim deal.
Oh.
I think the word was fee.
Oh, yeah.
In the next page, at the very end, where it says, under 5, the committee rescheduled their public regular meeting. I think if we scheduled the October 27 meeting to be the October 30, so I might as well. So the committee rescheduled, yes, there's a, correct, it's October 27 regular meeting to Thursday, October 23rd. Okay? Anything, that's all, anybody have anything else on that one? All right, let's go to October 30. I also have a couple of, I just read this in Ferry, so. Going to paragraph 4, I would suggest, the sentence says, the committee discussed utility tax and fire hydrant issues. Chair Marion will send out a short recommendation. I think we have a draft recommendation on both issues before the next meeting. The works director Lois was asked to pass the information on the submission. We grab the information, we ought to say that. Tentative recommendation. The committee's tentative recommendation. Information that seems a lot unclear. So the past the committee's tentative recommendation. And then the last thing I have is paragraph 5, same drill. So the committee rescheduled its November 10 meeting to
approve the minutes of October 13th and October 30th.
Okay, the motion is made and seconded to approve these minutes as just amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Passes. Okay, public comment. Robert.
Misnumbering of the chapters.
Misnumbering is what I wrote down.
I wrote down 4 and 5.
Yeah.
That's the ones I read.
I think it said 6 and 6.
You have been sending comments, which I mean, all of
them.
Are we ready to talk about board buys?
Oh, I guess they're misnumbered in the document.
Yes, that's the next.
What do you got?
I was looking at pages.
The chapter number, correct.
The table of contents has a typo.
Well, it says.
It's two sixes, yeah.
Two sixes, it should be four, but the chapter number probably.
And the page numbers are improper. Okay. So, how do we want to proceed? Gary, how do you want to teach us?
Well,
Is it better to go through it, even though we've all had a chance to read it? It's pretty dense stuff, there's no doubt about it.
But I think that's what we've been doing, I'm benefiting.
Yeah, I try to,
This is a good time to.
Lay out what's chapter four, hard to do as a program. And then discuss kind of the resources assigned to the program itself. So, starting in the overview on number one, I guess we just.
Yeah, let's just run through this.
Questions, things happen, more in depth.
If I can jump in. So, my problem with doing all this was, what have I got when I get to the end of this, and what process have I gone through to draw some conclusions or focus my efforts on a specific area? And so I just took a shot at this little matrix as something that can give you guys some down the area as well. It's just a way to kind of put yes, no, maybe in all these various elements that we're going to be talking about, and here's just some possible things to think about with each of them.
So the left is the program is about to walk, start going through.
Right.
For example, you're starting on management and administration.
Well, actually, that may be out of the next section. Yeah, that's okay. That starts on page 4-3, section 4, page 3. That's just a listing of all those things right there under work activities.
Okay, and but the percentage is simply labor.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Well, I wasn't sure what the percentage was.
It says labor here. This is the
way this is organized. This is the breakdown of the public works operation and maintenance division. That's what it says. So it's divided into sections where there's an overview, and then public works operations and maintenance is the field people that do the tasks.
Right, and well, and then but below item 15 there, those are all MPDE items. Where did that start? That started on page 8.
Oh, okay. That started with number 15 here?
So we're starting with the one at,
number
16. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe, yeah, actually.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's, okay, so that's the water resources task.
Right, yeah.
So it sounds to me like what you're driving at, it's not deal with the individual elements here, because you are wanting to list the elements of the program and try to figure out what the costs are and why we're doing them with a chart.
Yeah, well, I'm not necessarily trying to figure out cost per each function. That's not really the goal. The goal is we're trying to look at this utility and what it does and whether its scope is within what we think that the fee we're paying is supposed to be, is appropriate. And so I was trying to just create a process by looking at all these functions and saying, okay, is that something the swim utility should be doing? And if I think it should be doing it, it's, why do I think it should be doing it? Because it's appropriate for flood control. It's appropriate for, it's authorized. It's, what is it about it? The permit requires us to do it. And then maybe some of these we're going to come up with and say, well, it might be a good idea to do it, but we don't quite see how it's fitting under this utility. And that's,
Jeff, you know, that sounds interesting, but it's a little ahead of what my understanding is. I'm wondering, and it's substantive, you know, it's sort of important, right? And I'm wondering if the best thing is to, for new people, you know, walk us through, because you've got so much experience here, and yes, and so on. Or is there some reason?
Well, my question,
this should be taken up before we do the primer ongoing 101 swim utility stuff that we're...
Can't this be done concurrently?
Yeah, well, my fear is that, you know, in one of these meetings, Barry goes, okay, I'm done with the presentation, now what do you want to do? And we're all...
well, then we take this thing out.
Well, that's where I'm kind of feeling that if I'm filling in this as we're working our way through it, it will help me focus on what it is I haven't got any checks by or notations by, or I'm going, okay, I'm obviously still not sure what to do with this particular item, this element of what the swim utility is doing.
Yeah.
And so obviously I need to come back to this one. Otherwise, I'm just going to be like scratching my head as to where my questions are. And so I'm trying. And I'm not saying this is what it should be. This was a way to just kind of get the topic out of the table and say, you know, how do we go through this process so that when we get to the end of the process, we have our questions, we know what our questions are, and we get them answered, and we formulate a recommendation.
And why are we going through this process right now, that we're doing right now?
To quote the
city manager, the swim utility is broke. Is that what he said? I think in one of our meetings.
what I thought a part of it was is to, and maybe even the benefit of the long tenured members of the committee as well, but they, I've read this over and forgotten because I read it last time. You know, update this week, but I kind of need the primer. I need the whole primer. And but it sounds like what you're saying is good. Do that. Work through this, but I want to look into these things as we go along versus what you did.
Well, I don't see this as much as a tracking sheet.
Yeah, I was just taking off there just to kind of give you a sense of this is...
The problem with this, I have no idea about figuring out trackers, but the problem is that this listing is essentially how Public Works Department has organized itself to do these various, to do various tasks, which is different, maybe different, than the charge to do something by the statute or by MPDES. For example, go down to MPDES, public involvement, well, that's a task that has to do with it. By these other, by organization, by various organizations in our department. So, we're not tracking the same thing. Having said that, it's not wrong to go ahead and try this. Mm-hmm. What the big picture is that, first, to answer your question, is because there's a sense by a whole lot of people that there's enough. There's not a lot of knowledge within the city council about how this utility works, and they're asking the advisory committee to look into it, and they're better in training and seeing if it helps and recommendations for them. That's the real genesis of this. But there are other catalysts which are just complaints from various people. What it is, from Robert, who knows a lot, to others who don't know anything, and city staff even have said the same thing. So it's just somebody's got to get into it to work the logic.
It was sort of a rhetorical question.
Yes.
I think I know why we're doing it, but for me, you know, to engage with the comments. Right. Opinions, where we ought to go, and lack of knowledge on the council, that we develop the expertise through the newer members would have more knowledge of this. But Emily, speak for yourself.
No.
You may have had reasons to know more substantively about the swim utility than I do, but. So, you know, if we can talk about process and so on, but I wouldn't mind in the end, working our way through, then circling back and all of that. And you know, for we don't have a heavy agenda tonight, you know, just for a meeting or two or three, you know, really dig into the history of the management. All of what we're going into, but I think I'm repeating myself.
Well, the bottom line is, foundational part is that we have obligations based by state law to control stormwater, and we have the MPDES. So we have those two sources of responsibility on us. And so based on that, the city's developed these various methods of accomplishing it. So let's go through it.
Go through a bunch.
You might as well.
For example, I think these percentages are pretty interesting, but they may not, for instance, reflect because something takes 22% of the effort. There might be a consensus that's not the most important issue. Well, it's routine or something.
And also, that's just labor.
Where it's just labor. Right. But if we have the budget, even. One might say, yeah, but the thing we got to focus on is the thing that's not the largest.
Well, and the reason I mentioned that we may not be comparing the same things is, for example, I don't know whether you, I assume that no place can you add up all the costs for street sweeping or all the costs for spoil sampling. Yeah, some costs, but I presume you're not allocating, some labor costs.
I would not necessarily.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
We talked about budget by labor and materials and contracts and all those kinds of things.
Well, the budget would be a separate column. And then you still wouldn't be able to do the accounting of what I'm hearing.
There is some budget information. But yeah, budget, we don't necessarily say, well, how much do you spend on management and ensuring all the cost of management and have a line that is for the
public part.
And that's why, while it's helpful to do this, I don't have any objection to this at all. It's just going to be one of the methods by which we get some understanding. Because I'm sort of mindful of your point, which is, should we be doing some things? Part of my response to that is, how much does it cost? How much are we spending on the things we're doing?
Well, and which ones are we going to prioritize?
Right. And we may not be able to develop those costs, or maybe we can't.
Yeah, I don't know where it would take us. It's just information that was available on the panel, just put on the sheet.
Well, good. I like the inventiveness.
I was just concerned, like I said, that we'd just be all staring at each other at the end of various discussion in a few more weeks and going, okay, well,
now what?
Yeah, and I was just going, I need to be thinking about how to get to conclusions, and that's what started. That's what got me.
I think it's a great matrix.
So, and what the headings? We could add more columns as we think of other things we want to be able to process each one of these items through, or maybe some of these part material. But it was just a way to kind of get the thinking out there, and so as Barry's talking about them, you can kind of be thinking, oh yeah, so. We do that, why? Oh, okay, because the permit says we do that, we need to do that. Okay, so, and then it explains why we do an activity.
So, what do you think? Maybe the first part is just an overview. Maybe it'll help you give a perspective. Whether you want to jump into five activities, what are we talking about? How many people are actually involved in the work. So when you look at these percentages, really we're looking at breaking down the labor of four people. So what effectively changed? Well, we can make three people, maybe five.
You say this percentage is of four people.
That's four people.
So it's four times.
That's a four-man group.
Right.
That's how the way you're going down to four people. So you can, spend infinite amount of time analyzing four people.
But if somebody's out sick for 2 weeks, then
there's always four people who have sick leave, they have annual leave, they have everything. But that's where it is. People that do the direct labor on those percentages is four people.
Okay.
Then there's some overhead. Obviously, they have supervisors who need a certain set amount of time. That all gets rolled up into overhead. But really, you want to analyze the actual work as four pieces. And then at the bottom here, those other programs that I don't know if that's all of them, but starting after 15, that's primarily one person, except for one of those people. Anyway, there's one person that does all those other things, primarily that's most of their jobs. So that's, these guys just give you an idea. So we're not talking about hundreds of people, we're not talking about tens of people, we're talking about a handful.
So let's go back to the overview.
Had we previously discussed the sperm water gap analysis? You mentioned that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So there it is in the first paragraph, right, on the sperm water management program?
Yeah. So that was, and that gets, so.
What I was saying is, I just love to walk through, the document, and because I'm not sure what that means, but I think it's important.
So what that means?
I know.
You have these tasks, you have this much labor, and there's a gap between what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to do.
All right, so let's go ahead. We just start on page 4.
So the overview is we have the utility deals with all stormwater. MS4 is regulated. So the term MS4, I was going to just as I did bring up, the permit that a lot of it was available online. my eyes on my TV website and pulled out. This is the current, I'm just bumping the definition section, but mine are MS4s. MS4s are municipal septic smart sewer system, includes a system of advances, including roads, drainage systems, streets, catch basins, curb gutters, ditches, and man made channels, storm drains, owned by the city, used for collecting and conveying stormwater, not part of the combined sewer, so it doesn't have sanitary sewer in it, it's just stormwater. It has a couple other things. But basically, that's what it is.
So
this permit, which you're looking at, regulates just that part of the city's utility. So I think the critique, I'm going to try to get the top of this page, the utility and the MS4 and the permit are not all concentric circles. They're overlapping subsets. So the permit, the utility has been in place long before we had a permit, before we were required to do many of these things. We had a utility that was set up 20 years ago to do stormwater maintenance, flood control, whatever, those things that were set up to do to begin with. It's set up a way to create ponds and to create a capability to handle those things outside of the general fund. 2007, this permit came along from the state that says, we're going to regulate just your MS4. So just those things that are defined in that definition. So your catch basins, your street drainage systems, drainage ditches, those kind of things. So that the permit just regulates the MS4, but the utility, as currently defined, includes not just the MS4, but surface waters. So that's the way it's defined. No, that's the way it's set up. Yeah. So that's why there's no, they're not excluded, they're not totally overlapping.
So give us an example of something utility takes care of that's not part of the permit.
Well, monitoring the surface, the water quality and flow monitoring program is not technically required of the permit.
Okay.
And that's why I put that as in chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. One of the discretionary ones.
Yeah. And even then, there's I think the judgment called, street sweeping, street maintenance is not necessarily required by the permit. It's a best practice. It's a best practice to sweep the streets before it gets into the drainage system, but the permit doesn't require you to sweep the streets. That's kind of a common best management practice that everyone's doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, is everybody's permit look? Everybody's phase two permit look the same, except for
Washington.
Unless you've got a TMDL.
What was that?
Unless you've got a TMDL.
Well, there's different appendices or annexes that apply that just address the TMDL actions that are applicable to individual cities.
Okay.
The bulk of the permit, all the things that we do routinely are all common to all Western Washington small cities and counties.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a specific Bainbridge Island permit, it's a Western Washington permit.
Mm-hmm.
So these programs have all been set up in response. Everybody, and then, there are some cities that didn't have a utility, or maybe still don't even have a utility. They do it all in their general fund. Nothing requires you to have a utility. The city chose to do that many years ago as a way to build the source of funds and a way to create more capability to do things outside of the general fund. So, then the permit doesn't require you to have a utility. The permit does not regulate utility. It regulates the city's MS4, our system. So basically it's called a discharge permit. So that means technically we're not allowed to put our rainwater into Puget Sound or into any creeks or waters of the state without this permit. This permit allows us to let our rainwater flow into Puget Sound. Basically, that's the discharge permit.
So if our streets were totally unimproved, we didn't do any ditches and we didn't put in any culverts,
then we might not have an MS4. If we were just an undeveloped site, or then we would have nothing to regulate. We wouldn't have an MS4.
Mm-hmm. And then until the island was a city outside of Winslow, it was the county that was
right. And
subject.
Right, the phase two also. So Kitsap yeah. County is phase two, mm-hmm. Also for their areas. page one, just the biggest cities, Seattle, Tacoma, Pierce County, and Pacific County. And it was just the biggest cities.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else essentially is in this page two. So,
and I can tell you back in the early 90s, we funded a lot of these stormwater work out of the general fund.
And like I said, we could, the city could choose to do that now. Probably have no general fund. We didn't need utility to say, fine, let's disband the utility, so I'll make the general fund function. But we still have a permit we have to comply with.
Right.
That's separate from utility. Utility is just the way you choose to do it. So we, like I said, we have this utility. We've in the big picture, we've got, like I said, four person crew that does the
when you say four person crew, so is that four people or four FTE? Or are there four dedicated stormwater utility employees, right?
Right.
Okay.
And they're budgeted that way, and that's, and then there can be, you know, less than four FTEs during the year, depending on what goes on, because, it, say, for instance, we have a lot of snow storms and becomes an all hands on deck thing, and we had everybody available on plows, well, that labor is not going to be charged to utility, that's going to be charged to the streets general fund. And so there'll be somewhat less labor FTE charged to the stormwater utility during those periods of time. So it's four budget FTEs, but in execution,
and four people.
Yeah, there's four bodies, but those people can be reassigned, can be assigned to other duties as the projects come up, and then they should be charged to the stormwater. They charge the sewer, they have their sewer rate, and they're working on that for a week or something. You know, that could take time out of the sewer.
And I assume vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa. Yeah, sludge. So the dying. I don't know. So that's the budgeting, and then, yeah, the charging is different. Then, like I said, they have some supervision within the department, so they have a supervisor. Be a department head, and, you know, a little bit of my time is charged to supervise that function.
But they're up at FinCo.
What's that? Yeah, they're at FinCo, right? They report to me. And then down here, there's the Water Resources Division, which is two people, less than two, actually, by FTEs, 1.78. It's one full time person that is the permanent manager. Sure, and that position really only came into effect when we had a permit. So in the past, we just had a stormwater utility, which is O&M people doing work in the field. There's no requirement to do all this management, this permit management, and develop all these other parts of the program that we'll talk about until the permit came into place. So once that came into place, we hired or reassigned a person and created this SWIM program manager. So that's one. And then there's a 0.88 FTE, that is the water quality program manager. And that one came into a place, we can talk about that in more detail, I'm sure, but that's the program to monitor the surface waters of the island.
Excuse me, Mary. I could not locate that position in Appendix 2.
I think, for one thing, I got this one for finance, and they mislabeled it. But basically, it says it's water resources, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be groundwater. It should be. That's a misnomer.
It's on page 5 of Appendix 2. It's the one that says engineering spec writer resource, I guess. Second from the bottom. Yeah. So that's your.
So that's the essentially, well, that's 78% of an FTE that does manages the surface water quality monitoring program. So that's really all your direct labor. Everything else is either supervision or overhead. You're talking 4 plus 1.78, so it's less than 6 people directly. And then there's some people in engineering We do, I see 1.17 FTE in the engineering group. So when we do, in order to do stormwater capital projects, those projects are done by the engineering group, which also works for me. And so that is project managers and administrative support to manage capital projects. So that's developing designs, overseeing designs, inspecting work in the field, awarding construction contracts, processing invoices, et cetera, et cetera. So there's 1.17 FTEs attributable to that. And then in that group also, there's 0.27 FTE. That's the survey person. One may have one service as a survey group, which is one person. And then their admin division, they support MT, and that's really open to this point. So really, totally public works, which includes supervision, direct labor, as administrative support, capital program management, is 8.5 FTE. Then, the rest of it, other city departments. So some people would call this overhead or indirect overhead or general administrative expenses in business terms sometimes, but it's basically other functions in the city that support all city employees, finance, executive, IT, legal, all those kind of things that are the overhead functions. But those account for
so 1.3
FTE, so it's a total of adds up to 9.8 FTEs.
What is it that planning and community development does that gets time allocated to SWIM?
Well, they have to, of course, they do the comprehensive plans. They also do, they're responsible for enforcing part of the permit that Public Works doesn't enforce is the regulation runoff of new development activity. So the permit, part of the permit, will require to regulate runoff from new development. So they have to review, they have to set standards for runoff control. They have to develop the program to manage that part of the permit.
Yeah, and along that, because I was looking at, you know, for instance, a construction inspection back there on Appendix 2, and a couple of others like that that triggered in my mind the question of your building official you have in here and development engineer. So I guess my question is whether, are there fees being collected that tend to offset what these people do for the SWIM utility?
There are fees, so I think this is what's being billed to the utility, and it's a partial of the total effort. So every development project has a planner and an engineer has to be involved with runoff control, inspectors have to inspect the controls in place. Permit fees should cover most of that, but there's some part of it that's really the program management of it, development of policies that. Maybe you could say it could be rolled into permit fees to less potential. Theoretically, you could argue that development should pay for the full cost of development. So this, if this is a development-related cost, it could potentially be rolled into somewhere. Just to make sure that, like I said, developers pay the full cost of their burden on the city.
Right.
I would bet that the developer those who stay in the planning department.
That was going to be my next question. Does SWIM get any allocation of what goes through the planning department?
We don't, that should be a fee-for-service thing. And so whatever it costs them to fulfill their permit requirements in planning, they should be able to capture that from the developers. But there's some coordination, training, program management that maybe it's not direct cost to the developer from a developer.
So let's say the Visconti development is their direct cost to the SWIM utility.
No, they shouldn't. They don't cost us anything. So they come in, except for, like I said, this 0.424 FTE that the Swim Utility pays planning and community development to kind of develop the overall program, but the specific project costs of that development to review the project, to do drainage reports, to inspect, to enforce, that should all be captured in the fees that they pay. That's the theory.
Planning fees, but not swim.
We don't
and those and the people that are working for SWIM don't actually get involved in the
monitoring because there's a certain level of expertise with our program manager. So if there's questions, if there's interpretations, we frequently get consulted. And even if there's, you know, sometimes if there's enforcement action.
So there could be a development SWIM fee.
Well, or at least the percentage goes to SWIM from the planning.
Permit fees. Kind of just taken on a high basis. Mm-hmm.
Well, just when they clear cut and then there's all this muddy runoff that impacts SWIM, doesn't it?
Well,
not supposed to.
Theoretically, they should do everything properly in that. But you're right, if it does become runny, and obviously we have runoff once in a while, then it does kind of impact SWIM because then it becomes a IDDE, illicit discharge.
Right.
So if it becomes an illicit discharge, then SWIM, Water Resources, SWIM permit manager has to get involved because there's investigations, there's reporting to the Department of Ecology under the permit. We're required to put ourselves on the report to say, hey, something went wrong here, you had a discharge.
So is there a fee structure to impose on the violator?
No, there's no fee or fine or anything for that normally, unless typically, they try to get compliance, so what, you know, is set up to let ecology know, and then we show that we take appropriate actions, like directing the contractor to do X, Y, and Z, and then we tell ecology that the contractor has taken the proper corrective action, and then that just becomes a record. Typically, it doesn't compliance.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily
think
fine. I meant fee to cover the cost of catching all of that.
Yeah, there's not like an enforcement once they have a situation that requires involvement, then no, there's no need for that. We just,
it just seems like there would be an incentive to avoid that.
Yeah. And then the thing is, we have to, the way we have to budget to cover the full cost of that FTE anyway.
Right.
If we ever got any fees, it might help offset some of those costs. Going into the year, we haven't fully budgeted for that too much of that in May, because we're not sure what kind of revenue might be.
But the fact is that the building department will be charging for the time that people spend on that project.
Right. Which is
the building inspector, if there's a problem with the requirements for stormwater runoff, so that's all part of the building. The planning department, so they charge.
Right. And that fee, their fees should collect. Like to make the development element should take.
And it's the case that it shouldn't be a problem for the stormwater utility because there's measures there that have to do with paving hills and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there are requirements for them, and if that works right, contractor does it right.
Right.
It's not a stormwater utility issue.
It becomes, something goes wrong, we have to get involved, or they can do a report and follow up.
I feel like there should be a mechanism for catching that expense. Perhaps.
You could make that recommendation.
It might be so small.
It's not worth it.
$3,000 last year. For sure. For new development. What is that number?
What was the number?
How much?
63,000.
Don't want to get off topic here, but I wanted to, for context purposes, basically, does the city install any new MS4 infrastructure that isn't replacing existing? Because basically, a developer end up doing all the new work, kind of like.
Not necessarily. If we have a road project, widens the road, puts in a turn lane or bike lanes, and requires a certain road project, there are road projects we could manage improvements out there.
Middle Way is a big one.
Yeah, that was the only thing.
High School Road, when that was done.
Fort Worth Hill?
Well, there's not really much out there. That was just drainage ditches, and there's not significant tennis force. I mean, there's not any catch basin to place.
Yeah, I mean, these are replacement projects. I mean, Winslow Way.
Well, Winslow Way, though, there's some huge treatment balls on the street that are...
Right. I mean, I'm not saying what you replaced it with wasn't significantly different than what pre-existed, but what I'm just saying is the city's not in the business of creating the new infrastructure to speak of. It's in the business of maintaining and replacing it.
Replace culverts and large culverts.
Is this the case that, say, you have a new development, developers required to put in all this infrastructure, including stormwater stuff. That's on the city, so they... The impact costs of the development, we're trying to capture those. But it is true that now you're going to have ongoing maintenance of those facilities and so on. And so there's been an impact there. And that flows through to, that's not necessarily captured by the fees that, or the developer.
No, the development, but it's captured by the fees that the new houses pay. So the new houses come in, right? So the rate base people paying those fees.
They're now, there's structural revenues that weren't there before.
Right.
So in summary, we had 9.8 people, FTEs, that are budgeted in the city. Both Public Works and the other departments to accomplish the stormwater management program. Right? So now, in the rest of this, we're going into your dropping down.
Right, into the direct labor. So on page 4-2, it's the Public Works operations and maintenance.
So that's the 4.4.
That's the 4.4. That's the direct labor in the field. The people that do these things. Back to trucks, cleaners, back to those street sweepers, motor trucks, video cameras, mowers, all that kind of thing. And then there's obviously some numbers there on
size of this
number of catch basins and whatnot, and as Steve was saying, as things get built in the city, those numbers incrementally, we don't have dramatic jumps because of it's fairly rural, and the stuff in Winslow, a lot of it is infill, so some of the closest systems are there already. But there is incremental growth here. There's projects that come online that add facilities that have. And then, so our O&M division tried to break down the awards our labor and all that sort of percentages on our RSCs.
Yes.
That's stretchy. But, and then what we try to do is, as we talked about management or police support, is if there is a specific permit reference that requires it, then he tries to cite that. So those directly related to the organization of the governor, so the other thing with comments, you have. Permit coverage, which is not sometimes what part of the permit what we have to do, but the meter that comes into S5, which is, you see these paragraphs starting with S5, C4, etc. Those are your major program elements of the permit, and we can go to specific references on that. Probably a good one would be...
I'll tell you one that's missing.
What's that?
S5C5H. I can't find it on the.
Oh, here, stormwater pollution prevention plan.
Yeah, but find that in the schedule.
What schedule?
It's
S5. C, just so you can see something tangible here. It's not just something alleging that this is.
Not in the form of a stick.
Yeah.
Skips H.
Yeah, there's no H in the table.
Judith training and bias.
C5H.
It's not there.
It's in a slip.
It's in the text.
Guess what?
It's in here.
No, this chart.
Oh.
The G, the SWIP is should be H instead of I.
So is that what it is? Stormwater.
SWIPs for
permit special conditions.
For something you can't. SWIPs for O something and decant. That's H.
Okay. Yeah, so it is.
And that's
SWIPs. All right.
So maybe it's a slip.
Maybe it's a slip.
Anyway, it's here in the summary, I mean, in the narrative. But basically, what that says, read H there, yeah, basically you got a convention plant, anywhere you have a big equipment yard, or big stuff like we do at Dinko, you have to have a plan, and you have to do certain maintenance and best management practices. That's it. BMP is a very common term you see throughout the permit. So basically, you have to have a plan for that front yard.
This chart is...
So
this should be H and I instead of I and J.
Okay. So I just out of curiosity, does somebody from the Department of Ecology come out and say, okay, I want to see what you've done with this element of your plan, how you, I mean, do they physically?
Yeah, there is some auditing, and I'm not sure when the last time we had, but they do come out. And, you know, some of them are just couched as, like, you know, assist visits, but... You have to report on it. You have to put in a report each year saying you do these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor system, so to a certain degree, some of it's not checked. And then and a lot of it is based on honor system. You don't really get, there's not any, nobody has, certainly not the UE has some resources to do, you know, heavy inspection of what the cities are up to. So basically, this is what you have to do. You have to submit a report each year that says what you did in all these areas. And you're not required to put yourself on the board if you know you violated something. So if you didn't do something right, or if you didn't meet a permit condition, you're obligated to report that. Or if you did, or if you had a spill, or if you had a discharge that flew into water, in other words, violated a water quality standard, then you're obligated to put yourself on the board. And so it's a lot of it, you know, nobody has the resources in this effect, and there's not a lot of auditing.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of what we're going to be looking at here really has to do with just what you would, pretty much covered by what it is you do from a day to day. I mean, you wouldn't not do these things if you
probably
if,
not. There's probably not a lot. I mean, well, there is.
Yeah, there's going to be some.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't necessarily. I don't know that we had a written SWIP for each one. There was always regulation evolves, and there was, you know, SWIPs for. Stormwater prevention plans for construction projects. I don't know when municipal, I think municipal facilities, so it was in the permit. I'm not sure if it was a requirement anywhere. I think that's a management practice.
So the city has to do this. There's any, I don't know if we have the kind of businesses that equate to like the city, but if you had a business that, well, what about the garbage folks? Do they have similar kinds of things they've got to do? That this is just an onus on the city, but
they do. And there's different permits from ecology, construction permits, as well as municipal operations permits. What this is,
mean, if you have an auto body shop or a garage, do you have any set of conditions like these?
Well, once again, it comes down to...
They just impose it on the city.
Well, no, it comes down to whether they have MS4. This regulation MS4. They don't have an MS4, but there are requirements in here to do private facilities inspection. So basically, if the school district has a stormwater system within, say, the high school downtown, where they have catch basins and pipes and stormwater ponds and maybe walls, I don't know. They have things that are stormwater related, so they're required to do maintenance of those things. And I haven't got into that yet, but they're required to submit annual reports and say they've done their annual maintenance. We're obligated to use to verify that in some way, spot check, or satisfaction. I guess we have resources for that and to follow up if we get reports of violations. So.
That's code enforcement officer. Well, no, that's the swim water resource. So they go out separately. Yeah, so that's where we're having. There's the new permit requires a lot more involvement with private facilities inspection.
So it requires visiting businesses doing inspection, writing up non-compliance, following that up. If they don't comply, progressive enforcement and things don't happen.
I don't know the cutoff, but industrial discharges have to be MPDES.
But I'm not sure. I don't believe there's any
other permits on the island. And I know there's
many. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they have to get a permit from wherever they're discharging to. So, for example, they're discharging into the metro in King County. They end up having to get a permit.
There's what's called secondary permittees
in these activities. A significant part of this is this E-Camp facilities. This 322 yards of material, street sweeping, and all of that.
Right.
So what actually happens to this stuff? So we sweep it up.
Get in a dump truck.
Put in a dump truck.
And a lot of times it's wet. Because it's like it's in a catch basin or a pipe. And it's wet, so then it goes to the D-camp. So it's that
D-camp. Where is the D-camp?
It's at the road with the garbage dumpers. It's in the back of that garbage.
It's back behind the transfer station.
Yeah, okay.
You go back there and look at it. They dump all the stuff and the water comes out.
So, yeah, basically, you dump it on the
so it dries out.
You dump it on this concrete floor in a big pile, and the weight of the pile kind of forces the water. The water things slow, and the water runs down to the trough and goes into the septic system. It's out there, it disposes of the water. So then, once the material sits there long enough, it dewaters to a certain degree. Then it's taken away and taken to the landfill. Basically to the rivers and transfer stations, which is what the transfer shows in the city. So it becomes a waste. That's why we're
is it tested for contamination at that point?
Yes. So we have two waste streams that we documented over the years where roadside waste, which typically is like cleaning drainage ditches and shoulders and maybe some small landslides that come down alongside the road and those kind of things. That's typically a less contaminated waste. It's more than just rocks and dirt and organic materials and things. So that is tested out to be a lower hazardous waste stream. Whereas the stuff you suck off the road directly or out of a catch basin, that becomes more concentrated because it sits in the bottom of the catch basin. So heavy metals from the brake pads and oils from the car and whatnot run off and tend to concentrate in that waste stream. So that's a higher contaminated waste stream. So we documented we have two different waste streams. Right now they still get exposed to the same way.
And that separating those two streams and testing occurs here?
That occurs at the D-camp. So
at the D-camp.
You know where the truck comes from the field, that's a vacuum truck is the truck with the big hose and the vacuum that typically is the one that's sucking out catch basins in areas that are private land, and whereas a dump truck with a backhoe is typically just your rocks on the side of the boat. And you know where that's coming from. So when we come to the decant facility, it's going to just on this side, and on that side, we have it separated out and tested.
Yeah. And the products of those two streams go different places.
No, I know the farmers.
But the water all goes in the same.
The water goes in the septic. This is just wastewater. It's not.
But doesn't nobody test that, or is that an anaerobic septic tank? Or?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking it needs to be treated in some way. So how would
well,
it treat
well, it's taken for the wastewater treatment plant now. You just implemented that about a year ago. Probably just before you got the problem.
Annapolis?
Yeah, you mentioned there's some mention.
So it's hauled off island?
No, it's not.
Okay. It says, yeah, from 2006 to 2013, decanted water from swim activities was treated by the on-site oil water separator and sand filter, then tested and released to the downstream bioswale and stormwater detention pond. In 2014, in order to eliminate decant water testing costs, the procedure was changed from treating the decanted water on-site to transporting it to the sanitary sewer for disposal. And
so we have our own treatment plant, so it's sanitary sewer. But the waste, the solids, you know, the rocks, are supposed to be alien. So we're proposing and here to take the more less contaminated waste, the rocks and dirt that comes from the side of the road, and put that as fill material in the former quarry.
Where's the former quarry on Lufkin?
In the Lufkin. Yeah, it's in the middle, really, between Miller and 35, where Lufkin ends, where 10 ends for each trip.
Go up to 305, any left of Lufkin, and just go to it ends and be right there.
Yeah, which council meeting did you give that presentation recently? Just check the film.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Barry did a whole presentation.
So we're proceeding with trying to take the more benign waste stream and just plan to apply it.
That's more efficient.
Yeah,
it's not necessary to take it to the
better for the environment.
Well, not only that, from there it goes to Oregon.
We were hauling our stuff to Annapolis to have it processed, the sludge from our Fort Worth plant.
Yeah, but
that's very expensive.
Going to Brownsville too. I think it went to Brownsville for a while.
Yeah, it's expensive.
That's biosolids or sanitary. But that's
strange use of the word.
That's more
contaminated. So. Right, yeah, absolutely.
I didn't realize it was the compost that I buy 2 years later.
I was wondering, they go take the solids from the plant and spray them in the trees and peninsula. Grow trees with it.
Okay, where are we?
Okay.
It would be great if they dealt with the pharmaceutical.
So we sweep the streets to keep it from getting into the stormwater. You see the definition of, part of the definition of that was before, streets and streets drainage systems are in the definition. So,
streets, say that again?
No, it should be the definition of MS4, but streets are, by definition, part of the MS4.
Yeah, especially of late, yes.
It's part of this.
Okay, but...
So that's the DOE's definition, not the bars. That's the permit's definition.
Okay, so, I mean, at some point, I see that as kind of a major topic for...
Well, you're talking... Mm-hmm. You brought that up a couple times, Jeff, about the streets not paying the swim fee. So one of your attachments in here is the law of tortured ordinance that gave all the history of that decision.
Yeah.
But the real basis of it is that streets are defined as part of the MS4. They contribute capital when they're being built. Streets have been built over the years by the general fund primarily, and or by the developers, and then become part of the MS4, so they contribute. So the decision is why we're not going to charge streets because they're part of the MS4 and they contribute to the construction of the MS4. So that was the basis of it over the years that you contributed millions of dollars to stormwater infrastructure. So I think that was the primary basis of the decision by council not to charge.
Yeah,
Well, they didn't want to take the money out of the general fund and stick it in SWIM. That was a risk.
So anyway, so we sweep the streets. You know, we have the decant things. Roadway culvert and ditch line maintenance. You know, that's just something we do. We've been doing it for 10 years. Obviously, we have a lot of those things on the island.
That was long before.
Now, this one catch basin and pipeline maintenance is one of the few very specific permit requirements by us. So they actually get very specific about how many times in the permit cycle you have to inspect or maintain your catch basins. So that's the, I guess, is a key infrastructure point. You know, there's really no, in the permit, there's no requirement to shoot your streets in any particular frequency or to do it all or any choice of the best management practice. There's no requirement to really to a frequency of how often you have to clean your drainage ditches on the side of the road or how clean they have to be or anything. There's no real standard on that. But there is for, obviously they had to zone in on things that were common to everybody and were easily accounted for, so they picked on catch basins and water quality and flow control facilities. So basically the catch basins are specifically called out for frequency of maintenance and permit, and as well as the water quality and flow control. So basically if you're stormwater ponds or any tanks or any other treatment facilities, their maintenance requirement is specified. And then, I can show you the references are here, but basically they're...
I see that the water quality tank is annual.
Yeah, it's annual for your flow control and water quality treatment, which was your annual inspection maintenance.
So, storage bulb.
So what is a water quality bulb?
Well, that's it's kind of like a, you know, like a water separator, that there's other ones that have different ways of treating, but basically some way try to catch sediments, trap oils or floatable wastes, you know, trash and things, and have an overflow and an underflow. Basically try to, as much as possible, just let clean water get through to the storm outfall. So they try to, any heavy metals and sediments, they try to, the tank is designed to get those to settle to the bottom. That'll flow like oils and trash, and fills it over the top, and then the overflow pipe is in the middle there, so hopefully cleaner water is what's overflowing. And then periodically, annually, you should get in there and evolve. Is there a bunch of oil and trash on the top that needs to be taken out? Is the bottom of the tank full of sediment that needs to be sucked out, so the actual tank capacity? So if the tank is sized such that the water comes in, and there's enough time in there things to settle out or flow up, and then it overflows in the water. That's the water quality feature.
So it's a fancy catch basin.
Well, it's a fancy like septic tank almost for stormwater. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a septic tank. You have baffles and you have ways to trap things on the bottom and float things on the top. And
okay.
They have a lot of different designs. Now, I think in this little way, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. If you don't have enough room to put in a big enough tank to do those things, based on the amount of flow that is coming in, because it's all based on how much impervious surface is coming in, how much water is going to come in to surface water. So then there's now more heavily, I guess, maintained facilities that actually filter. So you get these big, like, you know, paper filters that go into these series of filters in a tank, and those would have to be pulled out and either inspected or which is a more expensive operation. It just allows that same function to happen in a smaller footprint. So, and then a storm pond is more of a flow control facility. So basically that's intended to capture the storm in a big pond and then meter it out in the overflow so it more mimics the natural stream. So that you had all this storm water that came from these new houses and streets, creates this big surge of storm water because it's not as much as going through the ground. So that goes to a pond and temporarily gets detained there, and then the pond overflow lets it flow out in a kind of more metered way.
Are they also supposed to, are they also part of their purpose to be for percolating the water back in as well?
Well, there are some that are designed as retention, some are designed as detention. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, if the flow, if the ground is, has that perfect, you know, and it can suck
the north half of the island.
Yeah, it depends on, you know,
not the south end.
So if it doesn't perk, then you need a bigger pond, because eventually it's all going to have to flow out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Or some could be, if it perks, then the pond could be smaller, and some of it doesn't come out.
So we have these legal requirements that put, require us to do things.
Right.
And is there also a testing? You know, theory they could say, you just have to make sure you don't discharge, and we test for that or something like that.
Some kind of there's really no.
We could do all these activities and still possibly not effectively and somehow have contaminants reaching saltwater and so on that we didn't want to do.
Right.
But we say, oh, but we did the things you told us to do.
Right.
So we're okay.
Well, we're okay under the permit. If we inspected the things we need to inspect, we maintained the things we need to maintain, we investigated illicit discharges when they happen, if we educated the public to make sure they weren't putting bad things on purpose into the water or by mistake even, and changed their behavior so that they were more protective of water quality, which is what this permit is supposed to require, then yeah, we're covered. But then that's where the monitoring piece comes in. So,
right.
So then you can ask the question, well, what is the effect of all this? Is it being effective or not? Are we really creating cleaner water? So the city has come up with their own internal water quality monitoring program to try to make that, have some information to try to make that judgment. That's the city, that's the city's choice, that's the center program. The permit set up on the second phase of the permit. We had a 5-year period, which was just kind of a learning to walk phase. Now we're kind of, you know, learning the job a little bit. So they set up a regional water quality monitoring. That's what the RSMP, the regional, but it's a regional program to monitor the entire Western Washington area. So basically, they, you know, came up with a program, some scientific process to decide if you sample. Here are some potential areas that we could sample that would give us a overall picture of the quality of the water. So there's now a program where they have identified sites throughout the Puget Sound, none of them are on Bainbridge, that are going to be sampled periodically. Data will be collected, and then from that they'll be able to try to make some judgments of, is it getting better? Does it look like the permit has had an effect? And what will happen is that, you know, like most things, if it's not getting better, then it's like, okay, you know, what's the next step? How do we crank up the permit and make everybody do more? What that is, I don't know. But there is no standard. I mean, there's water quality standards, but there's no requirement to monitor our own water.
In the law.
It's clean. Like our sewage treatment permit, obviously there's very specific parameters you've got to test every day, report every month, so you've got these. That's the point. There's no standard like that.
Gotcha. All right, you're doing great. Just keep plugging away here.
Okay, so illicit discharge in section, and that's really just helping the permit manager do any field work that's required to trace those things that they happen to come up. Landfill monitoring is kind of a.
So we're still back to the 4.45 to.
Yeah, this is still in there. That landfill monitoring is just a program that is kind of a legacy thing because of the decant facility, primarily because the decant facility is located at the former landfill site. There's springs attached to that site that require the site to be monitored, so that has fallen into as a stormwater requirement because they have to be out, I think.
Has Walker training? guys in your work, Cash Walker?
That's just waste operator training. So basically, you have to learn how to better it.
I'm not going to pass the Scrabble test.
As a common term, but yes, hazardous waste operator. So basically, there's requirements for how you label things, how you package things, how you can contain them as large thing. So that's the four. So that.
Does that go on for indefinitely?
Well, if you have.
Outside of the swim operation?
Yes, it does. So the swim didn't pay for it. The city was still the obligation to do it.
For how long, do you know?
Almost indefinitely until they require it, because it's almost all landfills are never done. I mean, they're always late liability then.
So what the. Can this originate from something that happened historically, not as really as a result of current events?
There was groundwater
contamination,
and there was a pipe in water that the neighbors, right?
All the details, but typically we have a landfill, then they assess the risk, it's closed, and you close it to a certain standard, a cap and a liner, and all those things, but there's still a late liability there, or late the potential liability. And then it's affected, and they evaluate, okay, well, where's the water bodies, where's the wells, where could the contaminants move to, and then there's a sampling and monitoring program set up to try to protect those resources. So if there's drinking water wells or surface water, things that could contaminate.
They didn't remove everything?
That's going on for years and years.
Yeah.
I don't know if it stopped. It's going on for years.
So I guess there's
a 3-year program.
Yeah? It's a 3-year program.
Yeah, it's going
on every 5 years.
Goes down, flows east, southeast.
But you know, after that time, if they still see that the sampling is indicated as a threat or things are happening, then the monitoring could never end, I guess, unless there was a remediation. I guess if it looked like it was a bigger problem, then they'd end up with.
I thought there was a remediation. No.
Well, there is. There was a closure.
Yeah, there was a closure and a cleanup.
They have to evaluate the,
right.
You know, the effects of the closure. Is there still a threat there?
So you, and who's requiring us to do this?
Well, that's another part.
It's not part of this. Right, because it's not part of the MS4 system.
Correct.
No.
Right. As I said, it's only really attached to SWIM, as far as I can tell, because SWIM happens to be out there in the weekend, so they operate on that parcel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not.
Couldn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is a major problem.
Well, yes, no, there's four wells and one other site that we test for out there now. We had been having a contract to do it at $18,000 for the improvements out there. The city 2 years ago, when I complained about how much it was costing, the city said that they would take over monitoring. And there's one well with one small trace sample that's over spec. So it's virtually all cleaned up, and I talked to Ecology. 2 months ago, they're going to review it next year, and they may terminate the monitoring after next year.
Thank you.
So that's four people. Then the next section goes into Public Works Water Resources Division. So this becomes these, and this is the one most of the permit requirements are under the Water Resources Permit Manager Resources Engineer 1. And these are kind of the management parts of the permit that we call it. A lot of it is public, you know, the sections that go through public education and outreach. So once again, the requirement is that the idea, the velocity of the program is just trying to, rather than treat the waste coming out of the end of the pipe, let's change the behaviors that end up putting the waste in the stream to begin with, or in the pipe to begin with. So, let's change people's behaviors. Let's make them aware of not dumping things in their storm drains like we used to, and not going after animals, and being aware when they see things happening, reporting things that don't look right. Education. Let's make people aware of it. Let's change behaviors. Let's try to make sure that less bad things go into this. And then there's a, under that same program, there's an agreement that we have with the Conservation District that specifically targets agriculture, farms, conservation districts, working with farms to implement best management practices for the farms. So the farms, you know, can have a lot of waste, animal waste, fertilizers, lots of things that could get into streams. And so the conservation district is a, obviously a great resource of expertise to be able to work with those farmers and agricultural entities to educate them, to help them to change their practices, improve their operations, etc. So we fund SWIM funds a good portion of that contract. We've been breaking that up, but basically a lot of it is just, they do things that aren't all water related. There's other parts of their program that are not water related. A lot of it is water related, so we try to parse that out. I mean, what's the sort of cost of this general
program? And you think about 30,000 of it is related to this? Was the swim? So I got curious about that. So we spend $30,000 to $40,000 a year for the county to come out and talk to our farms and make sure their farming practices aren't contributing to the problem. And I think just from an awareness standpoint, somewhere in here I looked at how many ERUs our agricultural enterprises consist of. And I multiplied that by the 147 and came up with, like, we're getting $3,800 worth of revenue from our farms to pay for this their share. I just took their ERUs times 147. Isn't that the way it's, how that's calculated?
$147
a year,
roughly.
Yeah, well, there's only... What page did I find that on? I'm just trying to figure out again. To me, a lot of the questions is who's benefiting and who's paying for it for a lot of these services, and try to see whether our structure makes sense as to how we do things. And so I was trying to just ballpark. Yeah, and if you multiply that times 147, you come up with...
I'm looking at it here.
22 accounts, 26 ERUs.
Yeah, I can't find the particular table, but I did...
Well, that comes down to...
I got it. 26 times 147 is $3,822.
Yeah. I think part of that is that it's the farms are...
Yeah, and that's all the point I was trying to make is, here's a program, who pays for it, who benefits from it, and
so really, to be totally fair, this is kind of the end game as we get to the rates, but the farm should pay for their input resources, and then probably all this cost should be additional
special assessment.
Only assessed to the farm.
Yeah, because they have special requirements that
So mm-hmm. back to Steve, what we're doing is, in the end, we're going to see if we're going to make any changes in rates, perhaps this evening.
So that's one
thing. There's a gray area in the farms, so a lot of them are hobby farms, small. And so when does the intensity of that farm activity move from a single family residence, guy who has a chicken coop or something, to a farm that has farms and stables?
Is it also an issue that farm, you get the single family residence formula, but one farm's practices would be much better than another?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Much more organized.
Absolutely.
But their fee could be the same.
It will be the same.
It will be the same.
Wow.
But then again, then we're back to, shouldn't there be fees imposed for discharges? Along the lines of developers with discharges. I mean, if a farm can't maintain clean practices, then they should pay more than the farm that is.
I suppose it depends where they're discharging. Most of them, I presume.
All manure.
No, where they're discharging.
Yeah.
Won't it be tremendously hard to
do?
How do you monitor
it? They'll
be discharging in streams as opposed to.
Oh, as opposed to a catch basin.
But that's kind of a bigger.
Okay, we're not going to solve that.
Yeah, never mind. Sorry.
$30,000.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, you're getting to the cost related to the impacts versus the cost related to the cost of the utility. So anyway, so we have the conservation district, budget program, other miscellaneous education, we have volunteers that help do things, education, public participation, that just really means we're supposed to make sure the public knows what we're doing, post our reports and anything that requires the public to hear, etc. The IDE is kind of it's just one paragraph there, but that's a pretty active part of what we have to do. Because we get, I would say, 50 or more at least a year. So there's, and that's the reports that come in that are determined to be an IDE. We get a lot of reports that say, I've seen this and this doesn't look right.
Was it kind of like oil in the water?
I feel like I saw somebody dumping something, or there's water running over here, and I'm not sure what it is, or it's got some suds in it, or whatever. You know, people observe things, which is a lot. We want people to have their eyes open now and be able to report things. So some of those are just determined to be not a problem. They're just drainage of some sort that's not IDP. And then some of them, a certain number, become. Yeah, this is a illicit discharge. Illicit discharge, if you get down to the actual definition of it, is anything other than rain is an illicit discharge. So, if you dumped water from your...
Gray water.
Water from you fill up your kid's little swimming pool, and you dump that in a storm drain, that's coming from your drinking water. It's chlorinated, blah, blah, blah. You're not supposed to dump that in your storm drain.
Okay, yes.
Most people just dump it in their yard and soak it. But if you took it out of the street and dumped it into the catch basin and let it run into the street, that's an illicit discharge, technically speaking.
But it's not an illicit discharge if it's under the ground.
No, because it's not in MS4. Once again, you're just regulating that MS4. So your yard is not MS4. But if it runs off your yard and your driveway and into the street and into the catch basin, and then it is part of it. Then it's an MS4, then it's an illicit discharge. So, I'm just taking this to the extreme example.
So, the guy who changes the oil on his car and boom, puts a little hole in the ground.
That's different. That's a hazardous waste issue. That violates a different part of the. That's not regulated by this permit.
Right.
There are standards, but there are DOE prohibitions against that, too.
Landscape sprinklers that run out into the street.
That's
you got nitrogen coming out. And in fact, I think Tammy talked about one they figured out actually was somebody over water.
Place where there was a winemaking operation and wine flowed down the street.
So really, that's the simplest thing. It's not raining.
Is that from heaven or is that a church?
Even if we do things like flush fire hydrants into a roadside ditch, we have to dechlorinate carpet washing. Yeah, power washing. Yeah, washing your car in the driveway or power washing your sidewalks. That should all be the runoff. I know your driveway is probably slanted to the street, but it should be directed to the grass or to a grassy area. So that's we don't enforce it to that level, but that's the technical rule. So anyway. There's a certain amount of, so if we find a list of discharge that we can verify, then we need to put people on notice and letters, follow up, any videos, reports on what they've done, verify that they've corrected the action and that they've done what they can to clean it up, or whatever that they need to require to respond to that. And then we have to track.
Has this been controversial in some way?
No, controversial.
There haven't been big celebrated cases or controversies.
Not really. I think most people, a lot of times, I want to say, they don't realize that some people try to get away with things. But a lot of times, it's education. You're not supposed to do that. Change whatever you're doing. And not do that. Surprisingly, the restaurants, the biggest part of it, the dumpsters, the restaurants, the best people ever located on the market. So there's, you know, education that we need to do there. We have to have outreach to best management practices on dumpster areas, garbage control, maintains, and so anyway, and then what I call it flow lining program, I talked about this regional RSMP, there's a regional stormwater management program. So basically in the permit section, basically it says every city, every county that's part of this stormwater permit, they developed this program, costed it out, and then allocated the cost to each one of the permit teams. So these numbers I've given you, 5709, 9512, 882, they're in a schedule that's in the permit.
You were going by us. We saw it there before.
Yeah, it was there. But basically, so in order, as long as we pay our money, we're good. We're in compliance with the permit. What the program does and how it's executed.
What's the basis for those numbers?
Well, like I said, they designed a sampling program, Puget Sound Y, that said we're going to sample these sites at this frequency, at these tests, and costed all that out.
Is it population or something like that?
Oh, how they allocated, I guess.
I mean, how do they... How do we compare with?
Well, there's a chart. There's a chart somewhere, and literally it shows which city pays.
Yeah,
the areas are up there.
But there's some basis for. It's not arbitrary. There's some basis. Oldsboro pays different than we do.
Yeah. So in this particular part of it, which is the effectiveness studies.
Seems like a bargain if they're charging $18,000 just to look at.
Well, it is actually. It's a lot less than what they used to pay individual by city.
Anyway, it's all in there. It's in the permit. We pay it. That makes us in compliance as long as we pay our bill. And then
that's a new deal, not the year.
That DOE that will operate the program, and whatever that program tells them as far as effectiveness, etc., then status and trends, etc., then...
Yeah, Edmonds, you know, so cheap.
So, it's kind of, you know, I think the numbers were kept so...
Maybe they went on stream.
The numbers aren't really... But the thing is, I guess, just to talk about the program, it doesn't tell you anything specifically about paper job. There's no sampling stuff. So if you want, the city has our own water quality program that's been developed over the years. We can talk about it in detail. But basically, it monitors our streams and our catch basins and that all. And it's designed to give you a sampling of the island. It doesn't sample everything on the island, obviously. But it's intended to give the island more specific information about what goes on or what the quality of the water is on. Regional program will say.
So why don't you talk about the perimeter reporting, and then we'll go on to our little short reports from the three other items we're going to talk
about. So reporting, just every year, we've got, like I mentioned, this, it's a, we have to tell them what we've been doing, give them specific status on those items that require specific status, such as recommendations, etc. And then put ourselves on the floor, like I said. So that gives us pretty much the result.
We essentially finished with Chapter 4. We make mention of the end here is the executive. So maybe next time we'll go on to mandatory versus discretionary. We'll get a little word about your comments. All right. Thank you. That's helpful. Let's go to the three subjects we added quickly. OPM, you want to talk about that?
Well, just two things. One, council got a briefing from the city's attorney on the OPMA last week or the week before, so you can watch the tape and get caught up to speed on, I don't know why we don't get it, since they make a subject to it, but they don't bother to educate us.
But the city law that requires elected officials to get that training, but it doesn't require us.
Right. But one of the other committees is getting it.
Most of the committees got it, except this one.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it right on the agenda of one of the other committees.
Actually, the Raza one time was wanting to know whether he wants to be drinking to us. Practice as I've seen it as late as I was.
Yeah, well, but you know, Steve was an, there was an example, you know, that when you hit reply all asking about, and basically you can't hit reply all. The moment you hit reply all, is my understanding, you've created a conversation.
Public meeting.
Public meetings, yeah. Well, but without the notice. Yeah, reply all is just can't do it.
But Roz can disseminate.
Yeah.
Well, what's so interesting about it, of course, is sort of administrative stuff, like when we're going to hold a meeting and this sort of thing.
Yeah. Yes, we have a public meeting to discuss whether you're going to have a whole public meeting.
Right. Yeah.
Through Roz.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying it isn't silly. I'm just saying that's what it is, and
should be so.
Is there a link on the website?
For
the city website.
I mean, there are three AG programs which anybody can look at online, which describe the Open Meetings Act and the Public Records Act. That's another source of your impression. It's all because of this.
I was saying the fact that I've inadvertently
broken the rules.
How much time we
so you can probably watch the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's real recent. Just check the last
or
couple.
Or you can go online to see at the EG's office.
Yeah,
but the regular council meeting.
Yeah, and, or you know, a study session, one of those two. And you know, they ask all kinds of interesting questions, which I'm not sure you'll get in that PG.
So we're the most famous committee in terms of these issues. It's not getting the training the others are.
I mean, the Open Meetings Act is one thing. The email communication is another issue, which is... By the way, for just to decide, court entering the judgment today against the city for $109,000. The legal fees for the violation by the city for the court case broke up. Also for $109,000 legal fees. That's not the sanction.
Which court case?
Court case against the city for the council members violating the
public records.
The city violating the Public Records Act. The Open Meetings Act.
What law firm represented the plaintiffs in that?
And there's a sanction hearing on December 8th to see about whether the city will be sanctioned. Which is, could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's not directly an open, public meetings issue, because that's a public records retention and production issue, but it's related to the council members sending emails around amongst themselves.
The city attorney has a pretty good handout. If she doesn't come and speak to the committee, then we'll probably do you good to get a copy of the handout.
Okay. Anything else on that, Jeff?
No.
Heads up to us on the project of the sewer and water plans.
Right. So the sewer plan was in the draft going to be presented whenever. So this is done by consultants. So they've done a plan. Ready to present it, and they have a contract to do a public presentation here. So I can schedule that as early as if you're ready to do it, or we can do it after Christmas. They could bring, we could schedule, they could come in and do their presentation of that.
So tell us when you think, when you need it.
I'm going to miss the meeting on the 8th. I wouldn't mind hearing that.
We ought to schedule all of
5 or 6 years.
Yeah, this is about as sure.
Yeah.
So whether I'll be fitting in by the end of the year or not, it'd be nice.
I'll be in Las Vegas until about 2 o'clock that afternoon, so with my child.
So you would rather me put it off, I assume we're probably going to need the 23rd of August, that's something.
Couldn't see.
We ought to solicit times amongst each other about when we can remember all to be here, actually. It's because we can move the stadium around. You can't be here on the 8th.
I can't be here on the 8th, but...
When are you gone, Steve?
But so we did.
When are you going, Steve?
I'm leaving on the 5th.
Oh.
Back on the 15th.
The 9th is our last city council meeting.
So you're going the 5th to the 15th. How about you? Mm-hmm.
I'm around.
4th through the 8th.
So we could
and then the 30th through the 8th of January.
No, he's gone from the 5th to the 15th.
I think I'm back on the 11th.
Oh, but you said the 15th.
No, I'm not back on the 11th. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm back on the 15th or 16th.
I wonder if we can do it on the 17th or 18th.
And then I'd have to check. Well, I know that they confirmed they can do it on the 8th, but I'll be closer, so
I... Well, I want to do need to find out when. So I'll send an email to Nancy tomorrow. I'll find out when she would work. But then, if we're not going to have a meeting, well, we need to talk about, we can have a meeting before the 4th instead of the meeting on the 8th.
When's the last city council meeting?
The 9th.
Well, is there any reason we're tied to the city? Oh, so in terms of this time.
They meet in here at 7, so we'd be overlapping there or something.
Well, the
17th
is a Wednesday.
Oh, no, that's what I was talking about. The 9th.
Yeah.
The 17th is not the other night. I need to make sure that the council can be here.
I've got something going on the 17th.
Well, how about the 18th?
Yep. I can pretty much move my schedule around.
Is that it? 18th?
So I can think that's...
I'm going to check with Nancy.
Should we come up with 2 days, just in case the consultants can't go?
Well, this is for the consultants, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that.
Well, let's try the 18th, otherwise I think we'll do it at the end of the next year.
Okay.
How about, now, December 3rd? Would just be a regular continuation of this meeting instead of on December 3rd. Moving the December 8th meeting to December 3rd, Steve is out of town.
Oh, okay,
well, we're thinking about that. Is that possible? I can tell you, I have another meeting at 7 o'clock that night, so if we start at 5:30, we'll be down to 7. We can walk across the street to another meeting. It'll be a short meeting. I'm just trying to keep this long and move regular.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes,
there's not. So could somebody do it on December 3rd?
From yeah, which for you?
From 5:30 to 7.
On the 2nd?
On the 3rd.
Comp plan group meeting that night.
Well, it would be done 7 o'clock. How's that? December 18th from 5:30 to 7:30. Now, Nancy and not before her.
You screwing up on his calendar. Her automated calendar system. Sending out January notices already.
Well, it's nice that we're a small little committee. We can try to accommodate each other. All right, I will send that up for tomorrow. All right, so the sooner... And how about the water?
The water's not prepared yet, but it'll be...
All right.
Sewer.
When do you want the plan, sewer plan done? Is there some project waiting?
Well, you know, we were supposed to give Ecology, I think we promised them July or something, somewhere around that. But we've given them the drafts, so they're satisfied that we're making progress. They see the drafts are in progress. They've already got some through that.
But it's not like we have a partial project this week.
No, we can. We just want to get that.
Okay. Anything else on the sewer and water plans? Okay. Last point is, in 2 minutes, the city, they passed the budget. Were there any significant changes in the utilities in which you gave us a brief about?
No, they didn't like it. But there wasn't really anything changed much. There was some utilities really not much about change to us.
So our recommendation on the sewer tax and fire hazard, is that a budget amendment? Or
no, and no, we have nothing been said about it.
I mean, well, except that
they passed the budget before we
gave
them the ring.
Yeah. But nobody, there was no kind of response in any way.
No, but council now, I think there's just for your information, set up with the
finance. Well, have you got it now?
Yeah.
Hmm? Oh, did you?
How would we discuss with council or proposal or recommendation coming out of staff?
When I sent it to you guys, I sent it to the city manager at the very same time. The council, they all got it. What they're going to do with this.
So, yeah, even if they said, yeah, do it, then we still have to come back to finance and say, Andrew, okay, here's how we're going to do it.
Yes, sir. Here's what we're going to cut, to make up for it, whatever. Exactly. Yeah. Here's some choices. I made a decision to make that choice and not make it.
Right. So, I think that's what we are.
All right. Agenda for next time, assuming it's December 3, we're just going to keep on going here.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then step 18. It would be the sewer plan. It would be, I don't know if we'll have something to do.
It'll probably be. Well, yeah, hopefully. So that's
it's a big guy.
But you know, it's a consultant prepared time. It's got a lot of graphs and charts.
They got paid by the word.
So, which means it's a huge file. So, I'd like to figure out how we. You're being presented.
And you want to mail it to us?
Now we got a few days, you know, we can either.
Can we get it on the third meeting?
No.
Can Ross give it to us?
Yeah.
Can Ross give it to us on the third? That way we have our
thumb drivers?
Yeah. Yeah, we can make it harder.
Well, on hard drive, but.
I'm sorry.
Hard copy.
How many pages?
It's
going to be a lot.
It's a book,
yeah.
Binder, at least. Oh, yeah. It's a lot easier to read that
way. Right, actually, but I can pack it out, but it's hard to think. A lot of it is like the model of the sewer system. So it has a bunch of pages of data, which doesn't mean anything to you, and I probably didn't have
it. Isn't there some...
I'd prefer a hard copy. It's easier to read.
Some 23 pages of this that's... the need of it, and the rest is going to be on our thumb drive.
You could also
give you the narrative like this, and that's not as much of the attachment.
Or you can give us the narrative, and you can give us the others, which we'll give back to you. Because you got to give the council.
That's true. As long as you don't mark them up.
As long as you don't mark up all
dog
the
appendices. Yeah,
all the appendices.
But
all the appendices is what I'm talking about.
I know.
Just the narrative stuff you can keep.
Yeah.
And can mark up. But all the appendices stuff.
Yeah, I'll give Ross about how to give you what you need without challenging
anything. Or is there a way to keep all of the appendices on a Google Drive somewhere? Or we can just pull them down after the meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was trying to get something ahead of the time, so it wasn't.
Right. No, I like your idea, but I just meant like for future reference.
Oh, yeah, well, it'll be posted on
the city.
Okay.
We're only having one meeting.
you miss a couple of that matrix